Thank you for your people. We thank you for the Word of God, where we can think about what was said. We can ponder on it. We can meditate on it. And it can get within our hearts. And once it gets in our hearts, God's people become mighty and spiritual, strong in warfare. We love you today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 51. I'm just going to read until I stop. Maybe we'll be by Revelations by next Wednesday. Concentrate on some of these words and let's have God speak to our hearts today. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your love and kindness, according to the, and I'm reading in the New King James, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, or new mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Remember that. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. When the Bible says sin, singular, it's the old sin nature. You're going to see the word sins, plural, pretty soon. That's actually committing. That's what we're doing. So you see sin a lot here. And in sin, old sin nature, my mother conceived me. He was a baby. He didn't sin yet, but he was born into it, conceived into it. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you make known to me wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressions your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from guilt, from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. Okay. This is David pouring out with a prayer of repentance. A prayer of repentance after killing Uriah and after committing adultery with Bathsheba. This is the Psalm of Repentance. Man's repentance always equals God's forgiveness. When man turns in their heart with true repentance, it always equals God's forgiveness. And we need to know that. We need to know that. This is a message today on the power of rationalization. The doctrine of rationalization. That means going around and making excuses, blaming others, not accepting responsibility. Always saying it's their fault. Never being accountable. saying, oh, it's okay if I don't hurt somebody. It becomes a lie. And it is a power because it snowballs and it continues to an extent that it will blind you for long periods of time without even knowing you've done any wrong. We rationalize everything away. We move everything towards somebody else. I did this because of what they did. We're very good at blaming. And God says, take responsibility. This is why so many times David in this psalm said, purge me, wash me, make me, create in me, restore me, deliver me, on and on and on it goes, because he knows he cannot find it. He's rationalized this sin so strong and so deep, it's pushed way away from him. And he doesn't know forgiveness. He'll learn it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But blaming others, defending the flesh. We defend our flesh so much. And the Bible says that we are dead in sin and alive unto God in Romans 6:8. Rationalization. It's self-justification. We justify our flesh. Our flesh has been offended and we defend it instead of reckoning it dead. We make excuses for our flesh of why we did something. We make excuses for negative behavior where we don't want to accept responsibility. We make it everybody else's fault and we're good at blaming. We become masters of it, shifting the blame, steering it this way instead of looking into my own heart, into my own self. We don't want to accept responsibility. And when you don't accept responsibility, you think you don't sin. It's not an issue. David just committed adultery and killed a man and then started a war with the Philistines and killed many more. Because he rationalized the entire problem. And then when this happens, when we're not accountable to sin, when we're not responsible, with no sin, we're not accountable for it, and we live in self-righteousness. It's the hardest person to reach is somebody who's self-righteous, because they don't think they need a savior. They don't think they have a problem. They've rationalized it so long in their lives, they really believe that their good outweighs their evil. Self-righteous. Self-righteous. So we set up all this defense mechanisms. We set up all these walls, this game that we play, these strategies that we come up with so we don't really get hurt. If I can blame the situation, I'm protecting my flesh and I won't get hurt. I'm good. And it's really, really that's why it's such a power where rationalization just pulls you. It pulls you. So these are defense mechanisms where our behaviors and our feelings are justified. I justify the way I feel. If I'm negative, I can justify it. If I'm unhappy, I can justify it. I can point my finger of why you made me unhappy. If I don't have joy in my life, I'm going to justify it. I need this, 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 and it's because of this, this, and it's your fault. It's never me. And God wants us just to be honest with ourselves. And this is what David is going to do. He's going to be forced to look inwardly. And that's all it takes. Because remember, at the first moment of repentance, God is there. The first turning of our minds, saying, you know what? It was me. God is going to be there. Restoration and healing comes when we're honest with God, when we don't rationalize. There are many that don't get healed physically, mentally, even a spiritual healing because of rationalization. We blame others for our faults. We look to others. So our behaviors and our feelings are explained away. We can easily explain why we're in a bad mood or why somebody did something and how we can easily blame them and I'm just as bad. So it's so much easier for me to judge others than look to ourselves. So usually, in most cases, this is done to avoid being truthful with ourselves. See, but there's a problem. There's a problem with this rationalization. Matter of fact, there's many problems. Let me give you three. But rationalization is always an excuse. It's always an excuse for the flesh. And there's problems with that as far as the Word of God goes. Mercy is a problem with rationalization. If we understand mercy, you can't rationalize. You can't blame others. You have to look inwardly to receive this mercy. And this mercy will deal with all these excuses and the hurts and the pains that are within us. We have so much hurt and so much pain, it's better to blame. It's better to push it off. Bury this and blame them. Make it somebody else's fault. Negative behavior. Criticism. Mercy deals with rationalization. The Holy Spirit of God. The free gift of the Holy Spirit deals with rationalization. The Holy Spirit's not going to say, did you see what they did? Did you see what happened there? Don't worry about that. That's how you were made. People don't accept you the way you are. This is how you are. The Holy Spirit's not going to let that talk go on long. Truth is another one. Truth from the Word of God dispels rationalization. It buries it. Forgiveness buries it. The body of Christ gets rid of rationalization. You're not going to be around a group of believers and talk about negativity and talk about how you've been hurt and wounded long, at least not in this church, because we're going to make fun of you. No. I mean, we're going to restore you and build you up and edify you nicely. Yeah. But it can't stand around the body of Christ. Like-mindedness deals with rationalization. Understanding who you are in Christ deals with rationalization. So we got all these things. Let's just look at three. Let's look at mercy. Okay, let's look at mercy. Mercy is fresh each morning. It's hard to blame somebody when your mercy is fresh each morning. Your whole day starts all over. Your whole life is brand new today. You don't have time to think of how I'm going to blame others for my action. Because it's new. Everything is brand new within mercy. And who is a God like this? Micah 7:18. God delights in mercy. He delights in it. He delights when his people talk about mercy. Because mercy makes you accept what you've done. And because of it, you're not judged, you're forgiven. Mercy forgives us on something that we should be judged for. So how do we go around blaming and not taking responsibility when we fall? Mercy allows you to stand right back up right away, quickly, and receive recovery. After this, David learned this. There was a period of time, though, he didn't. But he's going to learn it through this example. So mercy appeals to the righteousness of God. It appeals to the nature of God because it gives us something we don't deserve. We deserve judgment. He gives us mercy. What a deal. On every aspect of our life, every iniquity, every sin. That's why David said, blot this out. Remove this. Wash me in here. Get rid of this part. I've got all this blame. I've got bloodshed. I've got all this guilt. Get rid of it somehow. He comes to the realization, listen, I can't blame others no more for this. I've got to accept it. David, be honest with yourself. You can only fake Christianity for so long. Mercy covers up the excuses. We don't have to blame others for the way they're turned out because we don't like the way we've turned out. Let God deal with them. Let God work on them. Mercy eliminates the cover-up because with mercy there is no judgment. I don't need to blame others when I'm not judged. James 2:13. Mercy triumphs over judgment. A triumphing victory. Not just, wow, I can slide by. I got away with that one. No. It's we don't need to defend our flesh. We don't need to make excuses for our weaknesses. He knows them. He just wants us to bring them to him. He wants us to be honest with them. Second thing is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit deals with rationalization really good here. Because the Holy Spirit was given to us for our sake. It's a promise of God's Spirit dwelling within us, teaching us and conforming us to the image of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But we get in the way with rationalization. And the Holy Spirit's saying, keep looking at Christ. Keep looking at him. He reveals Christ to us in the Word of God. And he reveals Christ to us in others. Other Christians. We get Christ revealed. And when Christ is there, there's no need to blame or judge or push away or negative behavior or negative criticism. And there's no self-life. The Holy Spirit is going to war against that carnal flesh. It becomes that battle. God's truth deals with rationalization. God's truth reminds us of our weakness. The Word of God tells me that I am a sinner. And there's nobody good. No, not one. But with all that, he also tells me about this amazing promise of eternal life if I would only accept him. Truth does all of this. Truth covers rationalization. Because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thinking and are not our thoughts. Truth comes in and it pushes rationalization away, because really what's going on is truth confronts it and there's no escape. When the Word of God says something, you can't escape to rationalization and blame others in it. You've got to accept God's Word as truth. You've got to accept God's Word as the final authority. Whatever situation you're dealing with, it becomes the final authority. You can't push it away. The only thing that you can do with truth is receive it and deal with it and deal with your shortcomings and your problems and your setbacks. Because then what's going to happen is truth is going to come in, and you're going to start hearing the God's word, and it's going to start setting you free in those areas in John 8:32. Yes. Truth sets us free. If we stay in our rationalization, we become blind to truth, and then we're in error. It's either truth or error. There's no in between. You're not half right. God is always right. We are always wrong, except this side. We go on with God. We believe His word and every word, everything within the word of God. That's God's truth. So, look at this. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 12. Turn to 2 Samuel 12. Let's look at this story here. Let's look at this actual story unfolding and taking place. And 2 Samuel 11 talks about the issue of Bathsheba and Uriah. And in verse 12, and you know what? It's really amazing, that whole chapter 11. Go ahead and read chapter 11 at another time. God is, during that whole Bathsheba and Uriah incident, God is not mentioned in the entire chapter, because He's doing what He wants to do. Only in verse 27, only in the last verse, God becomes mentioned again. It says, and this whole thing, this whole plan, this whole scheming, this whole basically rationalization, I'm not in favor of. I'm not approving it. That's what God says in 27. And then in chapter 12, He sends His prophet. He sends Nathan. He sends Nathan to deal with David. And this is incredible, this whole thing. And I'm not going over all of it. But Nathan goes and starts to paint a picture. And he says there's two men. There's a rich man and a poor man. He starts to give this word picture, this story, that David can understand. And he said the rich man had everything. He was amazingly blessed with all these riches that he had. And then there's this poor man. You know, the rich man had many flock but the exceeding herds and everything. But the poor man had nothing. He had absolutely nothing. He had one sheep. He had one lamb. And this lamb became part of the family. And the family loved this lamb. They ate with it, slept with it, cuddled it, everything. It was like a little puppy dog, like a little Louie. You know? And that's what took place. And it was the only thing he had. He said, and then a traveler came to the rich man. And the rich man, instead of taking one of his own sheep or one of his own flock, went and stole and took the poor man's lamb and sacrificed that lamb and gave it to the traveler. And David was aroused at this, he said. And he says, as the Lord lives, this man should die. Tell me who he is, I'm going to get him. That's what David said. And Nathan said, it's you. He rationalized it all off. He took the wife of somebody who had nothing. And then he ended up killing and setting him up on top of that to die. And because he didn't want to deal with his sin, then he starts this war with the Philistines, and more get even killed. And for this whole period of time, David is pushing it away and pushing it away and blaming others and not taking responsibility and not looking to self. And we do that with sin. We say, nobody has seen it and it hasn't hurt anybody. I'll cover it up. We cover it. And God wants us to look inwardly. And this is amazing. And as Nathan says that you are the man, he goes into this long explanation. He said, David, number one, I gave you, and Nathan's saying this, that the Lord gave him everything. Not just one of the kingdoms. He gave them Israel and Judah. He gave it to them all. He blessed them with all the riches. He blessed them with amazing people and support around them. He gave them the land. He gave them the king. He took it away from Saul and gave it to him. He blessed them with everything, and you have to go and take this? And David confesses in verse 13. He says, or in 12, 13. And David said, I have sinned against the Lord and only against him. He didn't say he sinned against Uriah. He didn't say he sinned against Nathan. He didn't say he sinned against Israel. He said, I sinned against God and God only. I sinned before him. And looking in verse, right after that, I have sinned against the Lord. And he said, and the Lord, look at this. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. That's amazing. Because that has put away is in the perfect passive tense, which means David didn't do it. Passive means it's happening to us. Active means I would do it. But this is in the passive voice, which means God already did it already. He already forgave him from his sins. Look at how David looks at it. This man should die for what he did. Look what God says. You're going to live. A totally different turnaround. We look at it and we want judgment until it becomes us. And when it becomes us, we're begging for forgiveness. But God says in the passive tense, you will live. You're going to have problems in your household, though. You're going to go through a lot of problems here, and you're going to even lose that child because Bathsheba's pregnant with it. You're going to lose that, too. And your own household is going to come up against you, which completely happened. But this is amazing. This is how we make excuses and turn away. But truth confronts this. Truth confronts us in this. And thank God truth confronts us. And thank God truth convicts us. People don't like conviction. But conviction is awesome because it's an example of that the Holy Spirit is still alive and working in you. If you're not receiving conviction, you need to examine your heart. When the Holy Spirit starts to convict, it's something to pay attention to. It's something to good. It's something good to look at. But thank God for that. Thank God for truth. And truth is the reality and the illumination of light. It's the illumination of truth within you that we can receive and respond to because of God's grace. He allows us to respond for grace. He doesn't give us his judgment. You'll live. And that sin separates us from God. Not eternally. Fellowship. Our fellowship has been separated. God's interested in the fellowship. So, look at this here. Okay, so this truth, this amazing truth. And thank God for truth. Because without truth, without this truth, we would do the exact same thing that Pilate did and say, what is truth? That's our response to truth. What is it? And you know what that means? It means it's an open-ended question to debate and to discussion because there is no answer. Everybody's got their own definition of what is truth. He didn't ask what is truth because he wanted to get to the end of it and to understand it. That's not why he asked that. He was not inquiring to receive it. He didn't want to receive truth. He said, you're asking something that nobody's going to answer. You know, and you're not even going to be able to answer this question. Jesus Christ is the person of truth. The real question is, who is truth? Not what is truth. Who is truth? With that answer, Pilate could have gotten saved, and he might have, I don't know his heart, I doubt it. He washed his hands, but there's, don't matter. But who is truth is better suited here? Because that's what we want to know. In Psalm 12:1, it says, the Lord, or he says, help. He says, the godly man ceases to be. The godly man ceases to be. This is a godly man that ceases to be because he's starting to rationalize. The godly man rationalizes everything in his life, and he ceases to be. And what that means is morality would be on a decay. A person that doesn't want to deal with things because he just ceases to be. He's just there. He doesn't want to get involved with the things of God. He's just showing up. He's just hearing the word of God. He's saved, but he just ceases to be, will be the person that accepts things so easily because he's buried and he's rationalized things so much in his life. So morality becomes a decay. He accepts others and their lifestyle. It's happening now. We're seeing people accept everything because of their lifestyle. It's not the word of God. The word of God speaks clearly against this lifestyle. But we have to accept it. Because they were made that way. Blah. No. We're slack in our conviction. We're slack in our conviction. We rationalize everything. David pushed it away. Maybe it'll go away. Nobody will know. And the prophet comes and speaks right at him. To a way where David judged himself, saying, this man should die. You're the man. You're the man, David. So we accept all this. We accept it. Our conviction gets slack in Romans 3, 10 through 12. We just can't take things from the Word of God and pick and choose what we like. We can't just take verses that make me feel good and encourage me without dealing with issues in our life that the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention on. Because that's comfortable Christianity. And because we're in comfortable Christianity, this is why the world's the way it is. That's why all these issues can easily pass through Congress and Senate and our government and, you know, every single thing. And we talk about the Holocaust and everything else with the Jews, which is terrible. But abortions blow that away. And churches sit back because they've been slack in the Word of God and they've rationalized God's truth. Things are going on within the body of Christ, and we make excuses. And we bring up all these illnesses and sicknesses and diseases and different issues and mental sickness and problems like that, where God is saying, listen, I love you with an everlasting love. You are forgiven. God forgave David before it came out. He already said, you have already been forgiven. It's already been done. The price has already been paid. Now be honest with yourself. Let the Holy Spirit examine your heart. We don't want to be at a pulpit telling you what to do and what. We don't get involved in your lifestyle. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within you. But we can't keep rationalizing and putting away problems that are right present before us and calling it acceptable. So, David learned this way, and he understood it. And he started to get right with God. by allowing the Holy Spirit of God to look inward. And all these things where it says, change me, wash me, cleanse me, heal me, are all inward, not an outward thing. We look for these healings and these things to take place outwardly, but God is more interested in the heart. Create in me a clean heart. It's all a heart condition. And once we learn mercy, once we learn truth, once we understand that the Holy Spirit is on our side, He's not against us, He's for us, then we cannot make, then there will be no more excuses in rationalization. Because then we're honest with ourselves, and then we're honest with others. And we'll always go through different problems in different situations, but His love and His forgiveness is always there. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. Lord, help us with any negative excuses, negative behavior. We accept what You have for us in our lives. We look inwardly. And if there's any sin, any small thing, we confess it. Because if we confess it, You are faithful and just to forgive us from sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing power of the Word of God within people's lives and hearts is just amazing. And as we grow, Lord, we just want more of You. We want more of You. We realize that there is no good thing within our flesh. And flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of God. But it's by Your Spirit, says the Lord. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time. And we love You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.